post, get there first. The near post, get there first. Don't get there second, don't get there third. The near post, get there first. If it's for football news that you thirst, the near post, get there first.
Welcome back to the local part of the show. We're talking Canberra football in all its finest form. Now, we've got three major topics tonight. We've got the W League, we've got A League, Canberra A League, and we've also got futsal, because the national titles were on last week. Russ, we've got any news to start with?
Basically, what you've just mentioned. We've got ACT futsal stuff coming through. We won't go into that in too much detail because we've got that. But obviously, we'll start with a couple of the local lads. Kofi Danning scoring the opening goal, the only goal of the game for Sydney FC in their 1-0 victory on the weekend. And another youngster, Cody Larkin from the O'Connor Knights, who benched for Adelaide United on the weekend as well. And he's on the bench again tomorrow. He's a young goalkeeper from local O'Connor Knights team. So congratulations to both.
Yeah, Kofi came from Majura via Canberra FC to O'Connor Knights. I think there's three clubs in town that claim to have brought Kofi to the standard, although we had him on the near post. We think we certainly helped his media presence. And did you see his interview, Terry, after the game?
No.
No. That doesn't really help radio, does it?
No, not entirely. No.
But it was a marvellous interview. It was full of enthusiasm. And the happiest man I've seen in a long time.
He had
time.
A big beaming smile on his face, didn't he? He couldn't have been happier than that.
And he thanked his mum and his dad and all his coaches and everyone who brought him there, the near post.
He
thanked everybody. It was great. And it was the warmth and the enthusiasm that came through. You only hope that he's able to maintain that for... which is going to be, you know, a great career, hopefully, but it was fantastic.
Cody, we just mentioned.
Cody Larkin playing for Adelaide United, the champions or runners-up in the Asian Champions League. Cody Larkin, the O'Connor Knights keeper, was he?
O'Connor Knights, yeah, and he played for the ACT Rockets Youth in the matches that they had against when Central Coast came down. They had a warm-up game.
Yeah, so he's been on the bench. He's got a couple of games with the Adelaide United youth side, and now he's on the bench, and he'll be on the bench tomorrow night, I'm led to believe. He's gone over there. He's moved himself over to Adelaide. To try and get a full-time place, and I guess that's the way you've got to do it. It's obviously not going to be very lucrative, but I mean, you've got to admire a guy who moves uproots home and goes to Adelaide to train and just hopes his chance comes along. And because Mark Birighetti's been injured, he's got his chance.
Well, he finds himself on the bench, and he's an inexperienced goalkeeper, played a bit in the ACT Premier League, obviously, for the O'Connor Knights, but this is great experience for him. And you can imagine his nerves sitting on that bench, hoping nothing happens to Kolekovic, wanting to go out there and prove himself, but thinking, well...
And maybe the other way, maybe he hopes them. I mean, if you've gone all the way over there and you want to get a place, you're perhaps hoping that Kolekovic gets a bad knee.
Well, let's see what happens tomorrow, because he's the next one in line if Kolekovic does fall over.
And it just goes to show O'Connor Knights is the way to the A-League. Kofi Dunning... Cody Larkin, if you want to get a place in the A-League, go to O'Connor Knights.
Yeah, well, we had Dean of Greenwich in here the other week, didn't we? And he's the coach there, so he's obviously doing something right with the players, bringing them through.
It's good stuff. Now, and ANU have had a couple of games, John Mitchell's ANU side, which is full of talented young players this season. They've been training. He had 30 players at training a couple of weeks ago, the night before they went to play the Newcastle Jets, whom they beat. And then last week they played Sydney FC. They went down 2-0 to Sydney FC. But again, it's quite a young team that John's got. But interesting to see, what's going on there. The standard of training and also the number of times of training and the quality of games again.
Yeah, it's good for ANU that they can get these players in and out there, and playing those games. Obviously, they've got the time and the inclination to get out there and do the training. I'm hearing it's 4 or 5 times a week at the moment. And getting games against a quality of size like Newcastle Jets and Sydney FC Youth is only going to help them. It'll be interesting to see how they go when the Premier League season kicks off in March, I think it is, or late March, early April.
Yeah, it will be. Canberra A-League, I think, have got any more news?
Yeah, the Canberra Tire, 6,000 pledges on the Canberra A-League bid now, which is fantastic news.
It is. So that's the bid's moving ahead at a pace, and we're working towards, I guess, an end of February deadline. So if you can volunteer to sign up people, that'll be awesome or massive. And we're going to venues like the Multicultural Festival, the Canberra... Canberra Centre, I think it's called, down in Bunda Street every Saturday and Sunday. We're down there, so if you can help out, get in touch with the Canberra A-League, bid through the Canberra A-League website. And also we'll be going to the Matildas game The club registration day, we need people at club, all the clubs, anyone who can help out at club registration day, please get in touch. And just at your workplace or your school or even your home, if you can get 5, 10, 20, 100 people, please help any way you can. Coomer and Goulburn have got big campaigns going on at the moment as well to get numbers. So that's looking good. And we're working hard on getting the sponsorships, corporate support as well. So they're probably the key things. And you should be hearing a lot more about that in the next few weeks. And hopefully, my prediction here on the Near Post, cameras in.
I'm not going to argue with that. Seems like you're the project manager.
Well, that's right. But I mean, not that I know, but I just, my sense of the whole thing is that, it's coming together at a rapid pace, and I'm just getting a real sense of feeling. And I think the fact that they're talking about having a Socceroos game here, what do you think, Terry? I think that's a real sign.
Well, I think so. I mean, it must be part of the FFA's strategy to sort of gauge the level of support for Canberra.
And, you think, why would they bring the game? You wouldn't, would you? I wouldn't have thought you'd take it to the Gold Coast or Townsville. But
well, that's right.
We caught up with Ned Zelic about the Canberra League bid, and this is what he had to say.
There's real ambition about this bid as well to, not just get in there and be successful with a bid, but to have a really good competitive team, which is really important. Which is, I myself, I've been ambassador now for the Canberra bid for a couple of months now. And just speaking to people here, and there's definitely a lot of support there, even without the signatures. So what it really comes down to is showing the people up in Sydney, the decision makers, that there's support here. But to be honest with you, I think they know that already.
Is there another way they can do that? Does a bid kind of need to go to the next level now? It's getting down to crunch time, decisions will be made soon. Does it kind of need to step up now?
Well, what's stepping up? I think the people involved have, done their utmost. They've been up there to Sydney and spoken to the decision makers, and they've shown them as well that they've got financial support as well, which is really important if you want to get a team in the A-League.
Are you going to be throwing any of your hard-earned cash behind the team?
Oh, we'll see down the track. That's something we'll talk about. We've discussed it. We'll see down the track. But the most important thing is that the bid is successful, and then things will pretty much snowball from then on in.
You've spoken before about the possibility of a coaching role with the side. Is that still something you would like to consider?
Yeah, definitely down the track. But for now, I'd like to maybe get into a bit of junior development and things like that. And maybe that's something that I'd look at probably starting off with, if the bid was successful. Whether or not I want to be coaching the team, definitely down the track I want to get into coaching. But I'm the sort of person, I don't like to plan too far ahead anyway.
And that was Ned Zelic talking about the Canberra A-League bid. Terry, you any thoughts on the A-League bid as you head off into the cold Canberra night?
Well, I just can't wait for a decision just to let us put us out of our misery. But, it's all looking good. And I'm very confident that we'll have a team up and running for the 2010 season.
Well, I think you're right. That's good. OK, well, we hope to get a decision in a few weeks. So, all right. Well, thanks for joining us tonight, Terry, and we look forward to your report on the W League game next week.
Yeah, good luck to the Canberra women for the game on the weekend.
OK, cheers, Terry. And Russ and I are going to talk futsal. Russ, you were at the ACT Futsal Championships, or the finals of the men's and women's. I went to a couple of the... I went to the under-11s and under-14s ACT Cobras versus... And I think it was New South Wales in both games. Yeah, and I think, I can't remember the score other than that New South Wales won both games. I think it was 3 or 4-1 in the under 11 games from memory, and maybe 5-1 in the under 14 games. But I enjoyed them. It was good. I didn't get to many of the games, but they were the two that I got to. It was good to see the young players doing their best for Canberra, and lots of skill out there. What were your thoughts?
Yeah, it was the National Futsal Championships, obviously, and the ACT and the junior sections did get to four finals, the two you mentioned, plus the, I think it was the under-15 girls and the under-14 boys. And unfortunately, the New South Wales Thunder were too strong for everybody, for our representatives in all those age groups, and they were prevailed and were champions in all those age groups. The two games that I went to see on the weekend were the men's open final and the women's open final. between the Men's Open Final, New South Wales Thunder and the ACT Cobras, and the Women's Open was an all New South Wales affair between the Thunder and Lightning, and they were cracking matches.
I was interested. I mean, I suppose I was watching the ACT teams particularly, I suppose, and I mean, I haven't watched a lot of futsal over the years. I've played a little bit, but I haven't watched a lot. I was interested in the way the ACT teams, well, not just the ACT teams, all the teams that I saw in the finals, they were all quite well coached in terms of tactics and whatever. One thing I thought that was missing, and this isn't a criticism of the players in any way, it's just an observation, really, that I suppose when I've watched futsal in other countries, like in Brazil and that, you see the flicks and whatever. And well, certainly when you play futsal, you know, you see a lot of kids who can do a lot of flicks and a lot of stuff. But when it comes down to competitive football, it seems a lot of those flicks, that natural instinct, if you like, has gone out while we coach players' patterns and strategy. Now, I'm not saying I'm an expert, so maybe that's the way you need to play. I mean, but it seems to me there's not many back heels going on, not many flicks. Maybe you can't do that at that level. Is that how you would say?
Well, there was a fair bit in the men's final between, you know, the ACT Cobras and the Thunder. There were some good skills shown by players taking people on. But I think when you get to the finals of these things, the natural instinct is to curb it a little bit because you don't want to make mistakes. I mean, it can look great if you're going to try and dribble past the player and beat someone with a bit of ability and a bit of skill. But if you lose possession, suddenly you're going to be putting your team into all sorts of under pressure. And these teams at the top levels, they break so quickly. So maybe it's just a question that they're coached, like you said, in terms of zones and in terms of keeping patterns of play and keeping possession and not risking things and hoping to take advantage of any openings that come up, which happened on the weekend. The match.
I mean, I noticed that last week when I went last year, I went to watch the men's and particularly the men's finals and or some of the men's games. And the same thing. Obviously, the ACT are one of the top teams, so I hadn't seen that level of futsal before. So I was just surprised, given that I'd seen the Solomons play. And now the Solomons do have a fair bit more flair. Not to say that they're better players than the Canberra and New South Wales players. And obviously, their results last year they didn't win. So people could argue that they're not, but just they had more flair in a lot of their play, which I don't know, I'm just a bit of a purist there. I like my skill, but I'll take your point, Russ. I think in the finals you've got to do
I think obviously they're obviously not coached to the same level of standard that they're getting from the coaches that are playing coaching the New South Wales and the ACT teams, and that's probably showing they're left with a bit more of their individuality. And whereas it's difficult though to say which is the right way to go. Just to confirm though, that New South Wales did win on the weekend 2-1 against the Cobras with a free shot in front of goal with 10 seconds remaining, which was an absolute gutter and heartbreak for the ACT boys, who obviously had they won would have been heading off to Asia.
Yeah, particularly when you're heading off to Asia as a prize. Now, I had an interview with Simon Cravis, did an interview for the Near Post with Peter Fennell. He's the he's the coach of the under-11 ACT team. And it's an interesting discussion on coaching him. Peter, I know, was putting in a lot of work preparing the girls, and he managed to get the team to the final, which was a fantastic achievement. And watching the game, they were certainly really well coached. They played really well. I don't know any of the players in the team, but I certainly enjoyed watching them. And they were just a bit unfortunate towards the end of the game. New South Wales got away. Sometimes teams can get away. But certainly, I know, a fantastic effort for all the ACT teams. But I'd like to mention the under-11s and under-14 teams. The two games I saw, they played really well and they were well coached. And Peter had some interesting thoughts, and this is what he had to say.
Boys, my wife encouraged me to start coaching the girls. She thought that was a reasonable thing to do, as so much time had been given to the boys. I coached the under-13s Colts last year, a very impressive group. And this year I'm doing the under-11 girls. Very skillful, athletic group. They all play football and they all also play an amount of futsal. The two work for each other, but there are certain aspects of futsal that in terms of gaming that don't sit entirely well, and technically that don't sit entirely well with football. It's more emphasis than specific unacceptability. Preparation for a national competition is a vexed issue where we're dealing with juniors and youth players. We start, the futsal season starts after football ends, but of course it continues over the school year. At a time when other sports are in progress and fit for our young and talented athletes. In our case, in the ACT, the selection trials will run well in advance. You proceed to identify players that you think at the time are best able to cope. Now, and in the ACT, where it's possible to run two teams into the nationals, they do exactly that, and of course that's sensible because the competition is in Canberra. We don't have to travel. The more vexed question is how much work you do before you get to a competition. There are some that favour a lot of training. The reality is you can't get the players to a lot of training because, for the reason I mentioned before, there are demands on their time. The school co-curricular activities and other activities that occur outside school. So you tap away at this at one time a week for an hour or so, and then later on the weekends, which seems to be more amenable to training. And the pace then accelerates as you get into the holiday period. Of course, the other thing is cost. These activities are never cheap to families, and we need to keep that in mind. How you prepare, well, that's very much a case. Coaches have different approaches to this. For myself, with the under-11 players, you've got to be very careful how much you try and correct and how much you try to introduce that is new. And in terms of correction, you target the basic technical skills of passing, receiving and movement and, of course, defending. From then on, you identify those areas of the game that gets players of these ages into difficulty when they play and give them workable solutions to get out of those circumstances without producing a textbook. And from there, you game. You play as much as you can between your players, small-sided games, and play against other teams, which is a difficulty we have here in the ACT because of the number of players and teams. But you strive to play quite a few games as the competition gets closer so that you have the opportunity to practice as in live circumstances. So that's generally how teams would build. The older teams are more tactically aware and more experienced, so you're able to approach the preparation in a different manner. I think certainly in the junior area and perhaps the lower end of youth, which I've coached in, that coaching the girls is a lot easier than coaching the boys. Rather controversial, perhaps. I'd put that down to the fact that, generally speaking, the girls you can multitask. Boys, you'd have to generally do one thing after another and not get too far ahead of yourself. Girls concentrate on getting their technique right. Boys tend to cover the technical gap with sheer physicality, which, of course, can bring its own difficulties in a game. They're broad differences. Standard of play in the age teams at the same age can be surprisingly close, but for different reasons.
That was Peter Fennell talking about the ACT girls football team, which Eamon was lucky to see on the weekend. And we're just confirming that the ACT football finals, they lost 2-1 to New South Wales. That would have been disappointing, wouldn't it, Eamon, considering they'd talked about the Asian Champions League and the opportunity to represent Australia in that competition.
For the men's team, yeah, the men's team have been particularly successful over the last few years in futsal. So for them to have to lose in the last 10 seconds, Russ, you were at the game. Who was playing in the team?
Yeah, the ACT team, they had a pretty strong side. They had players of the calibre of Trent Flanagan out there, Matt Mentzer, Pat Ross McGee. He had a great game again. He's one of the big talents to look for. Angelo Constantino was in goal. Elliot Zwangabani was the coach or co-coach with Angelo. So they had a lot of names from the ACT scene. They were unfortunate. They played pretty well. They had a chance with Matt Mentzer with a free shot from the 10-yard line in extra time about 2 minutes in. Was well saved by by Peter Spathis in the New South Wales goal. But that for a time, it looked in the first half like New South Wales were going to walk it. They took the lead early on, but then they had two players sent off, which changed the complexion of the game entirely.
Yeah, interesting. There's no national coach around at the moment. And I know Elliot Zwangabani's been combining his playing coaching of the ACT with having to go around and watch some of the other games to be a national selector. So maybe that's a future for Elliot as the national coach.
Yeah, he certainly knows the game inside out. He coached it quite well on the weekend. Obviously did enough to get the boys to the final. And, I can't say how upset they were. I mean, after the final whistle, you only needed to see the excitement on the faces of the New South Wales squad to realise that they were that, what it meant to them. And I think in one of their squad, I think seemed to recognise one of their players off of the Football Superstar show. He was sitting on the bench, didn't get a run though. Brian McFadden. Fox Sports, the Fox show then. Yeah.
Okay, well, we're going to talk W League for the rest of the show. The big final on the weekend, Canberra United. We're totally biased. We're going to talk about it from Canberra United perspective. Russ, what does this mean, do you think, for the football in Canberra, for W League, for Canberra, for women's football?
Well, it's difficult to say, isn't it? I mean, what it means the absolute world to everybody at the moment, I think. It's such a big occasion that it's speaking to players, people that are involved this week. I had a brief chat with Ellie Brush today, asking her about the yearbook, to contribute her thoughts, and you could just tell by the way that she was talking that she's so excited. There's obviously going to be some nerves as well. I had a chat with Chris Gottes, the media manager at Capital Football, today, as we generally do, talking about news and stuff. And we said after about three rounds this season, when they'd been beaten by Newcastle Jets, they'd done well to beat Queens in a way, but then they'd lost at home to Central Coast, and we were sitting seventh out of eight on the ladder, that you thought it was going to be a really long, hard season. Now, it's been a really long season, but what a season it's been. The turnaround's been amazing.
I've got a great story. Mark Parton, who former FM 104.7 host and now, I think, on 2CC. Great story. Mark's a big AFL fan, but he's also right behind the Canberra A-League bid. And he's, you know, I sort of asked him, I said, why are you, you know, taking... In fact, he said, some of his mates have said, why are you getting behind the soccer bid? And he just says, well, I believe that anything that's good for Canberra is good, you know, is, well, anything that's good, yeah, it's good. If it's good for Canberra, then I want it. So, and he said the A-League, he said he just thinks it's something we need to have. But he, so he's not, he hasn't been to many games, he said, over his life, I suppose. He's been a big AFL follower, but he's got two daughters. So he said, as the first Canberra United game started at McKellar, he emailed me to say, I'm just, guess where I am? And he said, I'm just off to, my daughters have just dragged me to watch Canberra United. So we had a little chuckle. Anyway, the season's gone on and Mark's continued to go, and his daughters, I don't know how old they are, but one of them is certainly eight, and I don't know how old the older one is. So just talking to him or texting him this week, and he said basically the story was, on the weekend the daughters were watching the Sydney United, Sydney FC Queensland game, absolutely, wrapped, watching it the whole game, and the 8-year-old was glued to the box, desperate for Sydney to win, so that Canberra could have their home final. So a really nice story there, Russ, and it's good.
Yes, fantastic. I spoke to Mark again today. He's another contributor to the Canberra yearbook. He's going to tell his story there. But he mentioned he finds it amazing that the beauty of the war game, as he said to us today, was that a team can dominate for 85 minutes, but it only takes that 1 minute of genius or one spark of creativity for the opposition to go up the other end and score. And he said, in his game in the AFL, obviously, if a team dominates, they're going to win. And so it's probably the same for most.
We get criticised a lot that we dominated all game, but the other team won. But you know, when you're playing the game, you're so into the game that if you're down and defending and working hard to keep the other team out, if you then are able to create a goal or use your, you know, some of the tactics of the team or the players' attributes, like Ashley Sykes, and Caitlin Munoz and Amy Chapman releasing her on the weekend, you know, the players in that team will think they've worked really hard. They've tried to reduce Newcastle's opportunities. Obviously, Newcastle had all the play, but they've worked really hard to close them down, and they've used their talents. And I mean, the way the game worked, I mean, they released Ashley Sykes again in the second half, and they could have got another goal. And there's not one player or one supporter in that team or of Canberra United who would have been disappointed if they'd have grabbed the second goal, would they? I mean, that's the beauty of the game, isn't it, really?
Yeah, absolutely. And Thea Slattery said in her after-match interview that perhaps them scoring after 25 minutes was a bit of a curse, insofar as they got the goal. We know how good Canberra are at defending. You know how difficult it is for teams to break down the Canberra team, specifically with that defensive four that we've mentioned so many times before, and Lydia Williams in goal. That scoring so early, they suddenly switch off from the attacking mode and go, right, we've scored our goal. Perhaps it's time to sit back and defend. And it did invite Newcastle onto them on the weekend. But when you've got someone like Ashley Sykes, you can afford that, because then you can pick them off on the break. Sasha McDonald had a chance, and Ashley Sykes had a great chance to make it 2-0.
That's right. And I mean, the other thing is, that's the beauty of the game, isn't it? Different styles. Newcastle Jets obviously push forward in great numbers. But, you know, if they can't break through and they can't get a goal, well, you know,
The price. They had enough chances, didn't they? Let's be fair, they had ample opportunities. Yeah. Lydia Williams, who's been outstanding all season, made some great saves again. But
She had a superb game, didn't she? Who else do you think, Russ, were the key players for you on the weekend?
Well, it surprised me with the lineup that he picked on the weekend with his two first choice midfielders, if you like, Grace Gill and Sian Macheski. They were both back from injury and suspension. Rested in Sian's case against Queensland. But he put them both on the bench, and he went with the midfield of Hayley Crawford and Sasha McDonald, which on paper you think is a bit weaker, but Hayley Crawford once again was outstanding. I mean, her link-up play is superb.
Also, I think Robbie's is a smart coach. I think he was aware that Grace and Sian hadn't played. Maybe he was thinking, well, this is a 90-minute game, I'm going to have to use all these players. Sasha McDonald, probably not a midfielder in the true sense of the word. is probably unable to keep that pace going at her. I mean, she plays a really fast game. So, you know, why not use her for 60 minutes and then bring in Sian or Grace, and Sian will do a similar sort of job. And, you know, you're really in the heat in Newcastle. You're really getting the most out of the players by being able to replace those four or rotate those four in the midfield, which is, you know, smart coaching, I think. The commentator said Sasha McDonald wasn't happy when she came off, but that's a good thing, isn't it?
Well, yeah, of course, no one's going to be happy taken off in a semi-final at a 1-0 up. Everybody wants to stay out there. To see that in a player, when a player's happy to come off, then you're like, well, they've either run themselves into the ground, which again is a good thing, or, you know, he's going to be happy to be dragged. But
the coverage they got in the Canberra Times, I think, and on the local radio stations, I mean, it's been excellent. I mean, it's really given a boost to football in this town, and it's been amazing to see the amount of coverage. I've been really surprised, actually, by the amount of consistent quality coverage we've had. I mean, Merrin Sherwood's done an absolutely outstanding job, but, you know, the fact that the Canberra Times have run their stories, it's good.
That's kudos to the Canberra Times when you can pick up the Sunday paper and you turn to the back cover and there are the Canberra girls celebrating their passage into the grand final win a few years ago. That would have probably merited a couple of column inches in three or four pages in. But yeah, their coverage has been consistently good this year. Driving to work, you get all the radio stations putting their little bits across, and it's great to see that everybody's behind them. It's just a disappointing thing that there hasn't been more time for Capital Football or Canberra United themselves to organise a supporters trip up to the final. Having a week's break in between the two doesn't give you much time to prepare these things. Otherwise, I think you would have seen a fair turnout from the Canberra support, as there was a good turnout at Saturday at Queen's.
There was.
Newcastle.
The bus was more or less full, but also there was another 30 or 40 people apparently who went there. And I wouldn't be surprised, Russ, if you find there'll be a few green Capital Punishment Kermit supporters, whatever you want to call them, around the ground at Ballymore on the weekend.
There certainly will be. I mean, perversely, we'd have had a bigger crowd had obviously the game been at Canberra than I think we're going to get at Ballymore, to be perfectly honest.
It kind of it annoyed me, you know. Even though Canberra United weren't playing in the Sydney Queensland game, it kind of summed up Canberra's season, because, you know, just when you thought they might get a home final, you thought, here it comes Sarah Walsh to put Sydney and therefore Canberra right back in the driving seat for a home semi, and she misses. And you think, if somebody was going to score, it's going to be Sarah Walsh. And kind of that's how the season's been going. Like, we've always, you know, we've had some games where we've done really well away from home, and then you come back and you think, right, we beat Newcastle or we beat somebody, and then we're going to win at home, and then we draw or whatever. And then they pick themselves up again, and they've played really well, but just, they've never quite got that superb run going. You know, even in the semi against, or in the game against Queensland, where you thought, right, penalty early brush, we're going to win this, and then bang,
yeah, I mean,
and then we draw. You know, so it's been that sort of season. And I thought that game, Sydney and Queensland, had Canberra written all over it. You know, just like, we nearly got the home final, so close and yet so far, and we're going to have to win this the hard way if we're going to win it. We beat Newcastle away, and now we have, you know, when we should have had a home semi probably, when Ellie stepped up to take that penalty, yeah, we all thought home semi coming up, and then you know, we didn't get that, and now we've got to go on the road again to Queensland.
Well, 8 games unbeaten, it tells its own story in terms of statistics, but the quality at home, for some reason, whether teams get a bit of a buzz playing at Mackellar because the surface is so much better than what they're used to.
I think also the atmosphere. I mean, if you're coming to play at a great stadium with great supporters,
average of about 800 to 900 each year, each week. But I think it's going to be, Canberra's away form has been sensational this year, apart from the minor blip at Newcastle in the first game, in which they should have won again. They had chances. So, you know, it's away from home. Anything could happen. It's a final.
It's going to be great. It's going to be on the telly. It's going to be live on the telly. So I think a lot of people are going down to the tradies at Dixon. If you want a big crowd and join in with all the atmosphere there, so join at the tradies, kick off 4 o'clock. I think key players, Thea Slatcher, Lydia Williams, no doubt. Also, for me, Caitlin Munoz probably is a key in the attacking sense. But I think everyone's going to be a key player. Amy Chapman up and down the line.
Yeah, Ellie Brush is going to have to have a good game at the back. Hayley Crawford in midfield. You know, you can't afford anybody to have a poor game in a final, and especially not against a team of the quality of
Queensland. You've got two quality player teams, you know, with so many good players, that really you're going to see some really exciting football. It's just great to see the development of women's football, and the fact that we've had the chance to see it live on TV, you know, it's great, and so many people have been talking about it, and it's going to be a terrific final, I think.
You just hope that it's a bit of quality and not a mistake that decides the match. We've talked about Casey Dumont.
I don't mind a mistake if Casey Dumont.
If it's our way. We've talked about Casey Dumont, the fact that she's very lucky to be there. It's only her presence, I think, that means that the final isn't in Canberra.
One point, the standard refereeing's been, I reckon, pretty poor this season. But I'm not bothered about that. I think, like, what will happen is the standard will lift as the years go on. I mean, you don't necessarily want to chuck a load of men in there or whatever. I think you keep the women that are there and they will learn pretty quickly. Yeah, there's been some shocking decisions, let's face it, absolutely shocking. But it can't be that difficult to raise the standard. They're at a standard now. Next year, hopefully, they'll be better. Let's hope there's no cock-ups in the final.
As long as they review it and we get a good referee. I don't know who it is. I've been badgering them all week to let me know who is refereeing the final, but I haven't heard anyone yet. My guess is it might be Casey Rebolt, which would be interesting for Canberra. She's got a thing about sending... She's the referee that sent Thea Slattery off earlier in the season.
Right, shocking.
So, Jackie Markstrom on the weekend, she had good points and bad points. She was the referee that failed to send off Casey Dumont against
Queensland.
The
thing is, it's not the good points. A lot of the refs have good points. It's when they're bad points. Some of them have been so bad.
Well, that's consistency. The Casey Dumont sending off was a case in point. Central Coast Mariners earlier in the year, the same scenario. The keeper, forget her name now, she brought down Cara Mowbray with an open goal. She was dismissed. Canberra scored the penalty. Went on to lose again 2-1. But Casey Dumont, exactly the same scenario on the weekend. Same position, not even a yellow card, which was unbelievable.
Oh, well.
Anyway, that's passed, and we're all waiting for the final.
That's right. It should be a great game. Canberra United versus Queensland Raw, 4 o'clock on Saturday.
Saturday it is, and Canberra to win.
Canberra to win. Okay. All right, Ross. Well, thanks very much. Next week we'll be back, no doubt, to talk about the Canberra win. What score do you reckon?
I've gone 2-1 Canberra.
2-1, yeah. In the national show, I was a bit unsure, but in the local show, 3-0 to Canberra, okay? All right, so if you're going to the near post...
Especially if you're Canberra, get there first.
Whether you're attacking or defending, get there first, yeah.
Near post, get there first. The near post, get there first. Don't get there second, don't get there third. The near post, get there first. If it's for football news that you thirst. The near post, get there first.